Happy New Year to each and every one of you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is going to be a great year. Come on, can you agree with me? How many people are believing for a good year? Amen. The Bible teaches in Proverbs 23:7 that what you believe for, what you expect in your heart, that's what you're going to get. And so we just need to believe for a good year in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, you may have a seat. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to this year. I'm excited about this year. God bless you. I can tell my wife sneeze no matter where I am. So good to see you this morning. I know some of the threatening weather out there has intimidated some, but as God said to Joshua, be brave, be courageous, be bold. Be very courageous, and you are that number. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Good to see you this morning. Amen. Over the last year, you know, when you think about what we've talked about, what we've shared, what we've been talking about is really character. We've been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit by a great deal, and that's a subject, and that is an area that each one of us need to continue to grow in and to be transformed by the renewing of our lives or our minds. But at the same time, we've also talked about the importance of being a witness for Jesus, and for some that means, you know, the word evangelism comes to your mind. For others, it simply means sharing who Jesus is to you in a very friendly, personal way. But whatever the method, whatever the way, those are two great charges that we have from God, and that is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word, and also to share what Jesus has done in our lives. I know Ray way back there has gone through a number of years of, stand up for a second, Ray, and just so everyone recognizes who you are. And I know that he shared with me this morning that he's gone through a number of years of hardship with pain and surgeries, and he remarked to me this morning that for the last 7 weeks he's been pain-free. Hallelujah. And you can just, I'll tell you what, after the service, you go over and look in his face and you'll see in his countenance that he is free. And I believe that's what God wants for each and every one of us. You know, sometimes when we're going through the trial, when we're going through the midst of it, we cry out, where are you, Lord? I can assure you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is always there. But sometimes we focus on the stuff that God can do for us rather than really focusing on Him. On Him. Amen? And so the question now is, and Pastor Carl shared it last week. He said, you know, this year, here we are at the edge of, well, now we're into 2015. So what now? And so we've got a little video we're going to show you very quickly, and we're going to introduce our subject today with that video.
It's great to look back at last year, to reflect, to remember the good, the bad. But it's easy for us to get stuck in last year. What if our lives can be bigger than last year? What if we refuse to let last year define us? Go even when you don't have all the answers. Risk and you'll experience the hand of God walking with you. Believe even when the path is unclear. It's not too late. God isn't finished with you yet. Because when we trust Him, the possibilities are endless. Welcome to the new year.
Amen. Welcome to the new year. Here it is, 2015. I'm sure there are people in this room thought they would never see the year 2015. I see at least one hand go up. But here it is. It's here. And so the question is, what do we do with this year? Now, of course, the beginning of a new year is a very artificial thing. It's based upon the circling of the earth around the sun and all those kinds of things, and the point it is artificial. It's we don't read in the Bible where on the new year we get to make brand new resolutions, but it is a wonderful opportunity for you and I to take a look at our lives, to take a look at the year 2014, and make a decision about where we're going in 2015. You know, if you make no plans, you're going to get exactly that. You're going to get no plan. If you aim at nothing, you're bound to what? You're bound to hit it. You know all the motivational slogans and expressions, and even that little video was a little motivational. But the point is, what is really important for us as believers in Jesus Christ? How are we going to change our circumstances? Is there a plan that God has for you that He wants you to begin to work through or to continue to work through in the year 2015? I believe there is. I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for every single person in this room. And what's incredible about it is that every purpose and every plan is unique and different for every person. And as I said in our prayer time, it's not about getting to the goal so that you can play with the prize, but it's all about pursuing Him, because if you're pursuing Him, you get it all. You get everything. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, and let's take a look at a couple of verses here that talk about new beginnings. This is an opportunity to make a change. You know, there's nothing spiritual about today. There's nothing really supernatural about that about today. But it is a day that you and I can make a decision. Do we want the same thing in 2015 as we had in 2014? Or do we want more? Do we want more? How many people in this room have had an extraordinary 2014, just filled with wonder and provision and finances and friends and people coming to you and begging for forgiveness and putting gifts and prizes at your doorstep and all? How many people have had a year like that? I see one hand. I see you. Okay, you see me after church, okay? I want to talk to you. But I think most of us would agree that while our 2014 may have had some high points, it's also had its low points. You know, when whether you're in college, as some of you are, you know, and you're looking towards your future and you're wondering, you know, am I going to be able to get a job? You know, is this training going to get me a job? You know, or whether you're at the in the middle of the spectrum and you're concerned about meeting the financial obligations that you have in your family, or you're at the older end of the spectrum and you're wondering, is God finished with me? Hey, I can say to you that God is never finished. I was going to say it ain't over until the fat lady sings, but that's inappropriate for a message. You know, there you go. Oh, I heard, there it is. It's not over till you're in His arms. Hallelujah. Amen. And see, that's the attitude and that's the thought process that we have to have as we begin to pursue 2015. Come on, look with me on Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 18. Now, you've got to remember that Isaiah was a prophet who was writing to the church, not to the church, but to the Jewish people who were in exile and being returned to Jerusalem. Their dreams were being fulfilled. And Isaiah was prophesying that God had a wonderful plan for them. And as he begins to unfold this plan, we see part of it in this section of Scripture in Isaiah 43, beginning, and I'm going to choose to pick verse 18. And God says this through the prophet Isaiah, and I believe he's saying this to us as well. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Listen, whether it's been good for you, as that one hand said, you know, put their hand up and said, yeah, I had a fabulous 2014, or whether it's been difficult, don't consider that. Don't allow, and you, here's a motivational expression. Don't let your past determine your future. How many people have heard that? Amen. Listen, that's what God is saying. God is saying, don't let your past determine your future. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Hallelujah. I believe God's speaking to us. God's speaking to us through His Word. He's saying, take this opportunity to forget the past. Success in the past is just as limiting as remembering failure in the past. You've got to take the roof off the house, so to speak. You know, you've got to be in a place where there are no limits. But I'll tell you what, just as we saw in that little video, it said, you got to be willing to risk. You've got to be willing to risk. And then it goes forth, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, shall you know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Wow. I mean, you know, what that means is that you look at your circumstances and you look at it right now and you say, man, I'm living in a desert place. I'm living in a wilderness. What God says is that He's going to cause a river to go through that desert place. He's going to open up a road in that place. You see, you don't know. It can change in an instant. It can change in an instant. But if you're not looking for it, then when that change comes, you're going to miss it. We have to be in a place of expectancy. It's like being, I can't say I know that what this is like, but I would imagine it's like being pregnant. You know, there is an expectancy. There is an anticipation. There are also periods of time and of pain and discomfort. But you know the baby is coming. There is an absolute certainty that in the progress of time that there will be new life. And it's the same way in the spiritual realm that you are in a pregnant state. And we need to be expecting the birth of something fresh and something new in the year 2015. Man, you need to write it down. If God reveals something to you, if God shows you some wild idea, you need to write it down. So that when the day comes that is fulfilled, you can say, God showed me that. God is faithful. He has not forgotten me. And then he goes on to say, the beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals, the ostrich, because I give water in the wilderness and the rivers to give drink to my people, my chosen. The people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We praise him in the good times. We praise him in the bad times. Because he doesn't change. But he can change our circumstances. Now I'm going to go a little bit further. Sometimes, you know, listen, that's exciting, isn't it? Isn't that an exciting word? You know, and I had to confirm, you know, I think Larez used that word in an email she sent out. But we need to read it we need to read it all. And so I'm going to read a couple of more verses, but I want you to understand that this is an Old Testament type. And then it says 22, but you have not called upon me, O Jacob. And you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sakes, my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Your father first sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproach. What is he saying? Old Testament type. It says, God is saying, you have not honored me. You knew what I expected, but you refused to give me what was due me. Now, God's not asking us to make blood sacrifices and bring grain and grain. But as a New Testament believer, God has called us to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as living sacrifices. Not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You are that sacrifice. That's what he wants from you. No less. God can't be bought. You know, I was raised in a tradition when I was very young, and you'll be able to guess what it is, but the way I was raised, I'd go to church, and they would use guilt, condemnation. You know, they would. Oh, I'm not saying anything. No, I'm not naming any religions. But they would. They were very effective at making me feel very afraid, making me feel like God was going to whack me with a hammer as soon as I stepped out of line. How many people know what I'm talking about? And I can remember. I would. Do something wrong, and then I thought that if I did something wrong, I could counterbalance it by doing a good deed. Now again, I'm not naming names, but listen, that's the way I grew up. Listen, God is not looking for you to do good deeds in order to counterbalance the bad deeds, so that somehow you'll be eligible to receive a prize. But God is looking to establish a relationship with you where you are pursuing him. He has already pursued you. He has already given you the gift of eternal life. He's already set you free, whether you feel that way or not. He has already sent his son to hang on a cross, to shed every drop of blood in his body, so that your sins would be forgiven. He's already raised up his son so that he would be the first fruit, so that you could have assurance of knowing that you have eternal life as well. You see, that is the important stuff. But that's also the stuff that we often put aside when we are pressed by the pressures of life. Come on, you know what I'm saying? You know, but we need to determine that we're not going to lose sight of what is important. And what is important is him. The Bible teaches that he's a jealous God. What's in your life that's competing with him? Jesus. In Joshua 18, verse 3. In this particular, you can put that verse up there if you don't mind. And in this particular verse, what you need to recognize or understand is that this is in, remember, Moses brings the people of Israel to the edge of the promised land. It is Joshua who actually brings them into the promised land. It is Joshua that has great success. But see, God made a promise to the people. God made a promise that every tribe, except for the Levites, the priesthood, would have some land that they could call their own. And so what happens is that the land had already been divided. But the people are sitting all together. And this is what Joshua said. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect?" Here's a key word. "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" Come on, can you hear what he's saying? God is saying, "I promised this to your fathers. It's yours." It's like an unopened gift. Now, I'll tell you what. How many people still have a Christmas tree up in their home? Are there any unopened gifts under that tree? Oh, you have one. But you're contrary. Every time you have unopened gifts in your... Okay. You invite me over and I'll open it for you. But my point is that I think most of us would agree that all the gifts have been opened under our tree. Well, God has another gift for you. He says, "I want you to possess the land." See, that's what he was saying to the leaders of Israel at this time. So, don't neglect that which I've already purchased for you. Don't neglect that which I've already ordained belongs to you. But see, in order to do that, in order to be able to do that, the challenge, as it is for each one of us, is found in Joshua at the beginning of the chapter, chapter 1. In chapter 1, and I'm just going to jump over some verses here, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel.'" And here we are in chapter 18, and Joshua said, "Get out of the house." I know some of you parents are thinking that. You know, it's time to get out of the house, possess the land. Don't neglect what's yours. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan." I read that. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." And then it goes on to say, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I'll tell you what, you know, when God says be strong, be of good courage three times in the same chapter, you know what he's saying? He's saying, be strong, be of good courage. You know, too many of us, we lean on the scripture, "Well, the Lord will fight my battles." That means I can just stay in bed. No, that isn't quite what that means. You and I are called to be men and women of faith, and we need to stand on the promises of God. You know, we need to be in the race. We need to be in the race. Hallelujah. Turn with you to another verse that you're very familiar with, and that's Jeremiah 29, if you would. Jeremiah is another prophet. I believe he was a contemporary of Isaiah. And again, it's a message of hope. We need to have hope stirred up in us. We need to believe that what God says he really means. We need to embrace what he says. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, you remember the scripture well. "For God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace." God has thoughts of peace towards you. "Not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." But then we often stop there, don't we? But there's an injunction. There is something that follows in the very next verse. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I'll bring you out of captivity. I'll bring you out of that thing that's bearing you down. I'll bring you out of that thing that is dragging you to the floor. I'll bring you out of that thing that's causing you depression. I'll bring you out of that thing that causes you sadness and pain. But it's only when we pursue him. We pursue him. Sometimes, and I have to catch myself with this as well. I've been born again for a long time. And I can take my salvation for granted. I don't think we should ever take our salvation for granted. We should have assurance. We need to be confident in our salvation, but we need to be constantly aware of the price that was paid to set us free. See, the key word is not to neglect. We need to be careful. There are certain things that we can't afford to neglect as we enter into 2015. See, it's not only the things that we should do, but it's the things that we should also not leave undone. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. This is really the key to what I want to share with you today. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? We need to be sure. We need to have that assurance that we are running the race. And the race doesn't necessarily go to the swift. This kind of race is like a marathon. It extends over the entire length of your life. And the object of the race is to finish well. Not to finish with the most toys. Not to finish with the most gold. Not to finish with the most celebrity. But to finish well and run into the arms of Jesus. You know, I watch TV. I watch the news. I read the news on my iPhone. And there's a certain group of people that get a lot of attention and contribute absolutely nothing. And they're called celebrities. Now, I realize that some celebrities have some acting skills, some celebrities have some singing skills, some celebrities have some dancing skills. I'm not necessarily talking about those. But there are a group of celebrities that contribute absolutely nothing. And yet they're famous. And yet they're rich. And yet they seem to live in the lap of luxury. And some of us get caught up in it and we think, oh, I'd like to be that person. I'd like to be, listen, God created you so that you would be fruitful in this life. Some of you may have a problem with it, but celebrities, what do they contribute? You know, I've read about celebrities trying to break the internet. I won't get into that, but it's craziness. God is looking for men and women that will get out of themselves and begin to turn the focus of their attention to people around them. You know, I hate to break it to you, but it's not all about you. But it is about Christ in you the hope of glory. It's about Christ in you that is able to change the environment that you live in. Don't neglect. In this season of time, as we look towards 2015 or the rest of 2015, we need to discern what is vital and often difficult versus that which is pleasant and leads to destruction. The Bible is rife with all kinds of examples of deceptions. You know, and we live in an age where there's just so much going on around us. You know, just try to jump back about 200 years. You'd be living in a little cabin somewhere. No electricity. No cell phones. I know it's hard to imagine. But no electricity, no TV. Maybe a book, maybe you could read. Probably not so much. All you could do is look around. And you could see God at work. You took the time to look at the trees. You took the time to sow into the ground and watch things come forth. You took the time to see the birth of your family and if you had animals, the birth and the death of animals. You were wrapped around by all the examples of God's greatness and his awesomeness. But now we live in an age that is just filled with all kinds of distractions. Dee and I watched a movie last night. It was called Saving Mr. Banks. And it's a movie about Walt Disney and the author of P.L. Travers, the author of Mary Poppins. And I didn't want to watch it. It sounded like, you know, gag movie, you know. But I did watch it, and it was really quite good because it wasn't what I thought it would be. But when I think of how many people have been to Disneyland? You know that is a place that is the epitome of distraction. Everywhere you look, there's something going off. There's a light. Everywhere you go, there are people dressed in character. There are rides. There's food. There are vendors. It is just an exciting time. They all have one thing in common, though. It is all a facade. It is all about distracting your attention from your life and enjoying some recreation. Now, I'm not suggesting we don't recreate. We need to recreate. The word recreate simply means to recreate. We need to recreate our energy. We need to recreate our thoughts. But we live in an age where there are so many distractions. I have a dog. You know, I like to talk about my dogs. My wife's dog, German Shepherd. Not a German Shepherd. That was another dog. This is a standard poodle. I think she's ADD. You know what I mean? I mean, she's just you cannot get her to focus on anything. You know, I mean, you know, she's just anything that she's off. She's distracted by everything. She hears a sound, she'll run off to the sound. She sees a movement, she'll run off to the movement. She sees a squirrel and, oh my goodness. Food. Oh. Distracted by food. My dog even watches TV, distracted by the movement on the screen. Some of us are like that. We are so distracted by the stuff that really doesn't matter. And we know it doesn't matter. But nevertheless, we're distracted. We need to focus. We need to be careful not to neglect the important thing. The importance of our salvation. I believe it's in Philippians. I know it's in Philippians. It might be 4:12. And it says something like this. It says, you know, about your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, pursue your salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean that, you know, God's going to snatch it away from you when you make a wrong move. But what it does mean is that through our entire life, we need to be focused on him. We need to be focused on the one who saved us. in certain Asian cultures, when you save someone's life, that person becomes the slave of the one who saved them. Well, God isn't calling us to be slaves, but he calls us to be sons and daughters who have a desire to serve him. And to serve him means to serve the people that are around you. I know that's a challenge. I talk about serving people around you, immediately you think of people you don't like. Maybe God put those people in your life to teach you how to do the most important thing that you can learn how to do as a Christian. And that is to learn how to love the unlovable. That's hard. That's a challenge. But Jesus loves you. While you were still yet in your sin, the Bible teaches that he died for us. I was unlovable. I know it's hard to believe at this point in my life. But I was unlovable. It was difficult to love. But God broke in. He's good at that, isn't he? And he can break into your life and use you to touch the lives of people around you. Focus on him. Let me read to you a quick little story. During the terrible fire in the Ring Theater in Vienna, that's 1881, over 620 people died in this theater fire. A large crowd striving to reach one of the exits saw a side door marked emergency fire door. And this is just what they needed. They turned from the main passages, rushed to use this special way, but the locks could not be turned and the hinges were choked with rust because the door had never been used. It could not now be suddenly put into use when so urgently needed. A heap of dead soon lay before their doorway. And the author writes this: "So lips which never pray on earth will be speechless in the great day. The prayer for mercy will die unuttered, and the excuse which has been framed on earth will never be offered when the king says, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, I'm not saying this to put condemnation or even fear into anyone. But what I'm saying is that it is just another indication of how we need to be focused. We need to recognize what is really important. That scripture is found in Matthew chapter 7, 23. And you may remember there were people who were saying, "Well, Lord, Lord, you know, we prophesied in your name. We healed the sick in your name." But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Get away from me, depart from me. I never knew you." You see, it's not about doing the stuff that is so important, but it's about knowing him and pursuing him while you're doing the stuff. It's not the stuff that brings you into the good graces of God, but it is Jesus himself. It's like I said in the beginning. We're running the race. We're not running the race to win the prize, although that's a motivation, but we're running this race in order to run into the arms of Jesus. And his arms are outstretched, waiting for each one of us. It's so important for us to not neglect the little stuff. It seems little, prayer. It seems little, time in the Word. Pastor Carl shared that last week, the importance of being in the Word. You know, there are a lot of things that seem insignificant and unimportant, but you can't neglect the small stuff. When I was in the Marines, we had an expression, "Don't sweat the small stuff." Hey, it's the small stuff that will undo you. Benjamin Franklin had this saying. He said, "For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail." That's a nail. How can that make a difference? But if you follow that progression, you'll see that it all started with the lack of a nail in the horseshoe. We need to focus on the important things. They may seem small and insignificant with all the pressures of life, but we need to come back to the first things. We need to come back to the first love. And so as we look at the year 2015, I just want you to know where we're going. We're going to look at spiritual issues. We're going to be looking at issues of the soul and the body. We're going to look at the Word. We're going to stress the importance of the Word, the importance for each one of us to be in the Word. The Word is a lamp unto our path. We need the Word. We're going to be looking at prayer, realizing that we're talking about a conversation. Not. You know, I remember a pastor saying this, you know, the prayer is not, gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. We've got to talk about the importance of church. You're here. And sometimes you're here and you hear things you don't want to hear. That's why I'm here. My purpose is to stir up the comfortable and to comfort those that are in discomfort. That's what church does. It's iron sharpening iron. It's helping us realize that no one of us is an island, that we're all in this together. The importance of the fruit of the Spirit, which we spent a lot of time on in 2014. And this year we're going to also be looking at the importance of the gifts of the Spirit. The power and the authority that we have in Jesus' name. And the most important spiritual gift that we can accomplish or develop in our lives is the gift of love. And it is a gift. It's easy to love people who love you back. And we need to begin somewhere, and that's a good place to begin. But I believe God wants to extend our borders, extend the tent pegs of our dwelling to the point where we can reach out to even those that we don't love. You know, we have a tree back there, and we've got all kinds of scarves and gloves and I'm sure socks and other things on that giving tree up there. And each one of you that gave something probably think, well, I've really given. I've really, you know, I made a contribution. No, your contribution is not complete until you go out in the street. Amen. And you hand that to someone who's in need. See, there are certain things that we want to be in the comfort of our own homes and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you what, our place is out in the streets. Our place is in the workplace. Our place is in the school. Our place is in the places that we have influence where we can share Jesus in a practical way. We're also going to be taking a look at some of the physical and soul issues, you know. Bible says that even exercise profits little, but it does profit. And yet, I'll tell you what, most people at this time of the year are thinking about exercise, thinking about losing weight. Those are good things, but they should not cause us to neglect the weightier things, which is to pursue Jesus. Health, you know, we need to pursue a healthy lifestyle. We need to give up those things that are unhealthy and will cause us permanent damage. We need to get a health checkup, get a baseline. These are very practical things. We need to exercise our minds. We need to be challenged by new things. We need to learn new things. We need to pursue education. We need to work on reducing stress in our lives. The area of our emotions, avoiding stress. Wow, that's a challenge. Avoiding anxiety, fear, depression. All of those things, spiritual and practical, if you will, are important for us to look at in 2015. And not just simply look at it and understand it, but to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to apply these things to my life. I'm in the race. I'm in the race to win. I'm in the race to finish. And my goal is not just simply to be a healthy physical specimen. Although I wouldn't mind that. But that I would be running the race in order to be pleasing to you. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity, the beginning of a new year. And Lord, my prayer is that each person will go home and don't rely on mental notes. Actually write it down. What are some of the habits that I need to break? What are some of the habits that I need to replace? Lord, what are you saying to me for 2015? Give me courage. Give me boldness. Help me to be a risk taker. Lord, I don't want to be like the tribes of Israel that refused to go out and possess the land which you already purchased. Lord, help us to accomplish that which you've called us to and fulfill the plans and purposes you have for our lives. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.